Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. New York and New Jersey may not be in play in the presidential election, but we do have some important swing seats in Congress. And if Clinton wins by the landslide that the polls show is possible, control of the House as well as the Senate will also be in play. Here on the Brian Lehrer Show, we've invited the candidates from the four closest local House races, and we'll have our first pair right now, Republican John Faso and Democrat Zephyr Teachout, running in the 19th Congressional District north of the city. This district starts just north of Newburgh, west of the Hudson, and runs out to Oneonta and Cooperstown. East of the Hudson, it runs along the New York state line with northern Connecticut, Massachusetts, and even southern Vermont. It's currently represented by Republican Chris Gibson, who decided not to run for re-election. The polls show Faso and Teachout neck and neck. You probably know both their names because they are both statewide figures. Faso was the minority leader in the state assembly, the Republican nominee for governor in 2006 when he lost to Eliot Spitzer, and the nominee for controller in 2002. Teachout is a Fordham University law professor, author of the book Corruption in America, and ran that progressive challenge to Governor Cuomo in the Democratic gubernatorial primary in 2014. Each will be on for about 10 minutes. Zephyr Teachout first. Thanks for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, it's great to be on.
People downstate know you for your progressive challenge to Cuomo and teaching at Fordham Law. You live up in the country there, I guess, but I read you only moved there from Brooklyn last year. Faso is a long-timer. Did you move there just to run for Congress?
No, I moved there in March 2015, and I was working on actually stuff that really relates to the AT&T issue, which is how to revive our antitrust regime so we don't have these big mergers. And the race opened up last December. And, you know, I really love this country. I'm really worried about the direction it's going in terms of big money and independent businesses getting squeezed out. And I decided to run.
In a district represented by a Republican now, are you too much of a Bernie Sanders lefty for them?
You know, the beating heart of the 19th Congressional District is independence. People are really, really independent, and they're looking for someone who is going to be independent. You know, the fact that I have been independent in my own party, being willing to stand up to party leaders, really matters to people, and that I'm also not beholden to big money. Our average contribution in this campaign is $19, and I actually just saw a report yesterday that I was proud of, which is that of all the races in the country, ours is the one that is the most small-dollar donor. You know, big money is really causing some problems in our elections, both with super PACs and then with fundraising. And I am committed to representing the people of the district and nobody else, not political parties, not big donors.
Remind me, did you endorse Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton in the primary?
I did.
Yes. So how
yep.
enthusiastic?
And Sanders has come to campaign with me, which is really exciting.
And he called this one of the most important races in the country.
Yeah.
And he mentioned free trade and Citizens United as defining issues. Would you say that those are the issues at the heart of your campaign?
They're really, really important. I want to bring jobs home and support local manufacturing and support the local farming that is so important throughout our district. And the trade deals, NAFTA, and then sort of an overall trade philosophy over the last 30 years has really ripped apart our middle class. I want to live in a society where one in five people are making or growing something. And people are really, everywhere I go in the district, they say, why can't we make things here? Why can't we, you know, use our local farming more? And I've been outspoken against fast track, which makes these trade deals easier and also gives more executive authority. And my opponent, John Faso, is pro-fast track, and actually one of his biggest donors, and by big donor I mean $500,000 to his super PAC, is a guy named Paul Singer, who's one of the biggest free traders in the country. So we see a real, real difference on trade.
So you both you come out against the TPP.
I've been out against the TPP for a while. And John, when you hear him talk about NAFTA, it's sort of in between. What I hear from people is they're really happy that I'm clear about where I stand on NAFTA and clear about where I stand on trade. There's also a big difference in money and politics. You know, I'm opposed to Citizens United, opposed to unlimited corporate spending, believe we need to change the way campaigns are funded and get people back in charge. And John is, you'll talk to him later, but he thinks that there should be unlimited corporate spending in elections. And we're seeing it in our election. There's about $3.5 million so far, I think, spent against me in super PAC money alone. So when people in the district turn on the television, most of the ads they see are not funded by John directly, but super PACs supporting John.
Just one more thing about trade. Do you agree with Trump then that if we close the borders more to imports, that old-fashioned manufacturing jobs are going to come back to the country, clothing, televisions, things like that? Because a lot of economists don't believe it.
You know, I do not support Donald Trump. I support Hillary Clinton. And I think that we need to renegotiate NAFTA. I think we need to renegotiate our trade deals. Our workers are competing against workers in other countries with far lower environmental standards, and that's bad for our workers, and also it's bad for the climate. So I think the NAFTA experiment hasn't worked, and we've got to be focused on making things here again.
All right. The problems with Obamacare are very much in the news now, as you know. Private policies on the New York exchanges will go up an average of 17%, it was reported today.
Yeah.
Do you support any specific plan to fix Obamacare?
We've got to get costs under control. We absolutely have to get costs under control. So I support a public option. We need to have the power to negotiate for prices. And when you look under the hood, you know, the companies that are making money and just enormous amounts of money right now is Big Pharma. I talk to people all the time about rising healthcare costs, and it really hits home for independent businesses, which I am committed to standing up for, and I want to be on the small business committee, be a voice for the mom and pop. It also hits home for self-employed people, and there are over 80,000 self-employed people throughout our district. So to take on costs, though, you have to be willing to stand up to power. That's the basics, because right now Big Pharma is spending millions of dollars lobbying. You were talking about AT&T's lobbyists. Mm-hmm. Well, Pharma's right up there with AT&T. And the result is we don't have real competition in the pharmaceutical market. We have actually, this is part of the TPP, would make it hard to have access to generics. We need to get pharmaceutical pricing under control, and we need to have the power to negotiate.
You said public option. As a progressive, do you prefer single payer? Would you want us to move toward that system?
You know, I think everything has to be on the table. I think the what I'm going to be focused on in Congress is fighting for the public option. And then, again, as I said before, but this is so important because this is about power right now, is taking on Big Pharma, is holding those hearings, is actually bringing some good old-fashioned, you know, Teddy Roosevelt trust busting to bear.
Can you hang Donald Trump around John Faso's neck, or is this race not about that?
You know, I said before I was very clear about who I'm voting for. What John Faso says that he still supports Donald Trump, even after Trump boasted about sexually assaulting women, and so many people have come forward. He says he supports him because of his choices of Supreme Court justices. And John also has said that Roe versus Wade is a black mark on our country. I am totally committed to standing up and defending a woman's right to choose. I think that's absolutely essential. And we've seen in this last Congress that that's a voting issue in Congress. You know, their Republican congressman members held up funding for Zika because they didn't want Planned Parenthood to be supported. So this is a real live issue right now. We're really different on it. So anyway, I, it's It sounds like FAFSA's support for Trump might be related to Roe versus Wade or other issues. But here's the weird thing. He actually won't tell anybody who he's voting for. And what I hear from people is they just want someone to be straightforward. Like, how does it make sense to say you're supporting somebody but you aren't sure who you're going to vote for? He seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth.
We'll ask him in a minute. But that was the last that I read, that he has not said whether he will vote for Trump or not. And so why are you saying he supports him?
Oh, because he also will say he supports the top of the ticket, and he said that several times. And he said we should all unite around Trump a couple months ago at another event. So he seems to be sort of straddling. The truth is that this year there's so much anger at career politicians. People are looking to get Congress working again, actually functioning. And the excitement I hear about my race, you know, we talk a lot about independent businesses, about trade, about education as well, and also about protecting our water. And John and I have really different histories on that. I'm opposed to fracking. John is pro-fracking. He was actually a paid spokesperson for a Constitution pipeline, a very controversial pipeline. Throughout our district,
right.
But the key difference is I have a history of being independent, and the sort of non-answer on Trump, people hear whichever side they're on as more of a career politician lobbyist answer than just being straightforward.
Zephyr Teachout, thank you so much.
Wonderful to be on. Thank you.
And now the Republican in the 19th congressional district race. And if you're just joining us, this is one of the most important congressional races in the country because it's considered so close. It's a swing district. Republican Chris Gibson represents it now, but he's leaving Congress. And John Faso, who we're going to talk to now, the Republican, and Zephyr Teachout, the Democrat, who we just heard from, are neck and neck in the polls. And who knows with the Clinton landslide that could come about on Election Day, even the House, by way of coattails, might be in play. So this is really, really important, these local races that are close in the House. So we welcome Republican John Faso. Again, he was the minority leader in the New York State Assembly, the Republican nominee for governor in 2006 against Eliot Spitzer, and the nominee for controller in 2002. We welcome John Faso back to WNYC. Hi, thanks for doing this.
Good morning, Brian. Nice to be with you again and your listeners. It's been some time, but I always enjoy speaking with you.
Thank you very much. So the elephant in the room this year is Donald Trump. You just heard how Zephyr Teachout characterized your position. And last I read, you had not announced whether you would vote for him or not. Are you saying yet?
You're correct. I have not said who I'm going to vote for. I've said I'm not going to vote for Mrs. Clinton. And I'm focused on the issues in the 19th congressional district. I would also note that Ms. Teachout, just as late as last November, said that Hillary Clinton was corrupt and the Clinton Foundation was corrupt. So she's done a metamorphosis about Mrs. Clinton and corruption. So that's interesting. But voters really aren't, they're smart enough to distinguish among candidates and for different positions. And they know that Donald Trump is running against Hillary Clinton for president, and there are two other candidates running for president. And they know that I'm running against my opponent in the 19th district. And they're going to make separate decisions for the large part on those races.
She said that you have characterized your position as not announcing whether you're voting for Trump, but you are endorsing him. Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. What I've said
or
all
supporting
along
is that, him.
I'm supporting the Republican ticket.
So you are supporting him.
I have supported the Republican ticket, but I have said specifically that I have specific policy disagreements with him. And I've said that while I am not going to vote for Mrs. Clinton, I haven't yet decided who I'm going to vote for president.
Progressives ask, how much playing footsie with racists and anti-Semites and Trump's own misogyny and Trump's irresponsible charge that the election and the polls are being rigged and praise for non-democratic authoritarian leaders it becomes a deal breaker? Colin Powell doesn't want someone as impulsive as him trusted with the nuclear codes. Can a candidate like you be forgiven for dismissing all those things as not core enough to your decision?
I didn't say I was dismissing them, Brian. I said I had specific and numerous policy disagreements with him. But I'm focused on the 19th congressional district because there's a vote for president on November 8th, and then in the next term of Congress, the voters in our district are going to be represented by someone that will cast maybe 2,000 votes for them over 2 years. And do they want someone who just moved into the district, who has no connection to this district, who only has never even voted in a general election in this district, and who doesn't know our district, versus someone who's lived and worked here for 33 years, raised a family, is deeply involved in the civic and charitable life of our district, versus someone who's just parachuted in and says, I'm here, I should represent you? I think that's really the fundamental question.
Just clarify one more time for me. If you decide not to vote for Trump in the end, but you said you won't vote for Clinton, so it would be for a third-party candidate or a write-in, how can you support the ticket but not vote for the ticket?
Well, I'm running on the ticket. I'm a Republican, and Brian, I don't think there's any real contradiction there. I think that sometimes, you know, we're not in favor of the folks that are running on our party line. I can tell you, on occasion, I've voted for Democrats. On this occasion, I don't plan to vote. I will not vote for Mrs. Clinton because of my policy disagreements with her. But again, Brian, I am focused, as I think most voters are, on the race for Congress and the issues and the concerns that people have here. You know, Brian, most of the people in our district heat their homes with home heating oil or propane. Zephyr Teachout wants a new national energy tax, which will kill the upstate economy and hurt the very people she professes to be supporting. She is against the property tax cap that holds down property taxes in New York State because she's aligned with special interests. She says she's against big money in politics, but she's been labeled as a super PAC hypocrite by PolitiFact in the Washington Post because she's accepted tens of thousands, indeed hundreds of thousands of dollars from people like the Soros family and Susan Sarandon and a just veritable who's who of leftist political people. So, you know, she likes things the way she says them, but the fact is she's a hypocrite on so many bases. She wants, do you know that when she ran for governor just 2 years ago, she wanted a stock transfer tax in our state, which would have cost $10 billion for people that have 401ks and teachers in pension plans and state and local workers and everyone that saves for their retirement. She would tax them every single time there was a transaction. So Zephyr Teachout is a classic far-left politician who doesn't have a record of being able to accomplish anything. I, on the other hand, have worked across party lines to get things done, and that's what we need in Congress, not people on the far left or far right who don't want to negotiate with the other side. That's the problem I think we face. We're facing a financial cliff, a financial crisis in our country, and we need to get Democrats and Republicans trying to find common ground on tax reform, on regulatory changes, on fixing the mess that is the Affordable Care Act, on fixing Dodd-Frank, which is strangling lending for community bankers all across this state and all across this country. So those are the issues I'm running on. You know, virtually no average citizen asked me about my preference for president.
On one of those issues that you mentioned with respect to Zephyr Teachout, a stock transfer tax, Secretary Clinton says she wants a tax hike on the highest income people, which would include a lot of people in finance, to pay for free public college for the bottom 80% of families. Trump supports a broad tax cut for the highest earners, which budget hawks also say would increase the deficit. Can you make an economic case to people in the district that Trump's policies are better for the struggling working class and middle class families than that kind of high-end tax with money dedicated to making college, public college in-state, free for the bottom 80%?
Well, I make the case for my proposals. I don't make the case for anyone else's proposals. And I do think the important thing here is we need corporate tax reform and we need tax simplification, which will benefit individual taxpayers and business taxpayers. Congressional Republicans and Paul Ryan have set forth a plan, which I think is a reasonable one. It's the basis for negotiation with the other side. And regardless of who is in the White House and who controls the U.S. Senate, we are going to have to negotiate, because we have this situation where U.S. multinational companies got $2.7 trillion of foreign earnings, profits, stashed abroad they can't bring home, because they'll be double taxed. It's a crazy situation. So we've got to reform our tax code so that we incentivize companies to bring those profits back home so they can be invested here and grow jobs in the United States. I've also got a plan for 100% expensing. If a business makes a investment in new machinery or tools or equipment, they should be able to write that off 100% of it in the year they make the investment. And Ms. Teachout, her entire plan is predicated on taxing more people and having the government make these decisions. I believe in limited government. I believe in the Constitution, and I believe in the free enterprise system. My opponent doesn't believe in any of those things.
Do you support Donald Trump's proposal for a broad tax cut for the upper income folks?
No. I think that tax plan is one that would create too many financial imbalances. And I do think, though, that we need tax simplification with fewer brackets and fewer special interest carve-outs. I want to do away with things like ethanol subsidies, which are really misguided, which hurt our fuel economy for drivers, and also provide unwarranted subsidies for corn growers and ethanol manufacturers.
You said that she's too left-wing for the district. She said you're too right-wing for the district because you support repealing Roe versus Wade, that you said Roe versus Wade was a black mark.
Well, that was in 1987, and my position is very plain. I am sworn, if I am elected and honored with election, to uphold the Constitution. The Supreme Court has upheld Roe for a number of times. They've made modifications to it. I don't support taxpayer funding of abortions, which my opponent supports, but Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, and certainly it's not going to change.
Last thing I asked her, I'm going to ask you because it's in the news today, the problems with Obamacare. Private policies on the New York exchanges will go up an average of 17%. It's been reported. Do you support any specific plan to fix Obamacare? And if you're in the repeal and replace camp, what would you do to not harm the 20 million Americans who have gotten coverage as a result?
It's I don't know how much time we have left, Brian, but it's a complicated issue. But simply put, I think we need to provide more incentives for consumers to be able to save pre-tax dollars to pay for routine medical expenses and roll it over year to year. I think we need the pools that have been set up under Obamacare are failing, and one of the reasons they're failing is the prices of the plans that on the exchanges are too high. And there are massive disincentives to employment. The employer mandate for employers that have more than 50 employees is discouraging employment, and I've talked to many employers who will not go over 50 employees because of that. And many employees are now forced to work part-time because of this employer mandate. So there are a lot of disincentives that are created. The taxes that are put on insurers go right into the cost of premiums for employers who purchase insurance and for people that are buying insurance individually. Taxing health insurance is the wrong approach. And the taxes on the medical device manufacturers. This is a source of innovation and progress in our country and helps with life-saving and medically important changes and technologies. Well, the taxes on medical equipment manufacturers are counterproductive in Obamacare. So much of this has to be taken away. We should make sure that we preserve the ability of people to get insurance through high-risk pools who may have pre-existing conditions. But this system is collapsing as we speak, and it's going to have a major overhaul.
John Faso, the Republican candidate for the open seat in the 19th Congressional District from roughly north of Newburgh and north of Poughkeepsie on either side of the Hudson, up past Albany, along the river, and out to Oneonta and Cooperstown, west of the Hudson Valley. And we heard earlier from the Democratic candidate, Zephyr Teachout. Thank you very, very much.
Brian, thanks so much. And people can go to johnfasso.com to learn more.